League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. There's Sarah.
Hi.
And there's Chris.
All right, mateys.
Good to see you, gang. Now, nobody likes to be scared or frightened, but if we survive a scary ordeal unscathed, we do like to tell the tale. Today, we're answering this question. What's the scariest experience you've ever had?
I immediately know what mine is, because it's the closest, it may not actually be, but it feels like the closest I've ever been to actual death.
Oh my goodness, what a start.
So I was in California a few years ago, and we were driving through the Yosemite National Park.
Been there many years ago, but I've been there.
Beautiful part of the world, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely delightful. But the roads, they're quite windy and they're quite high up. I get a bit nervous. I'm a bit nervous about that kind of thing anyway, as a passenger. Thankfully, I wasn't driving. My partner was driving and he is a very, very safe driver. I absolutely trust him. But he was having to really focus these twisty, turny roads. If you look down the side, it's a sheer drop of I don't even know how far, just too far. And we were driving behind some friends.
It would knacker a car suspension if it fell off, to be honest.
It would, or even thinking about it now, it's making me feel a little bit queasy. But and I'm not even afraid of heights, honestly.
No, you're not afraid of anything.
Don't sound at all.
But so we're driving in convoy.
You were scared
with
on his behalf
car.
You know.
Honestly. And these people in front, they were, I think the person who was driving was actually from California. She was quite confident driver. Oh. All the people were quite confident. Thankfully not drunk.
That you know of.
Well, she was driving safely, but she was driving quite quickly.
Look at me, I could drive with my eyes closed.
You know, we were keeping up, but they were going quite fast.
Ooh.
Not too fast, but quite fast. And we go round this bend, and I hear the tires squeal.
Ooh.
As we're turning. And I've never heard that noise before in a vehicle that I've been in. You know, I've never, even if I've emergency stopped, it's never made that noise.
How fast were you going then?
Because we really weren't going that fast. We really weren't.
Yeah.
Just inside, the car skidded slightly sideways. We thankfully, you know, my partner slammed on the brakes. It was fine. We didn't go anywhere. But that moment of the squeal as we skidded towards the edge, I just thought, "This is it.
Good night, Vienna.
This is the end. Yeah, I'm checking out. I'm gone.
Hail Mary, Mother of all that's good and pure. You're crossing yourself and saying everything you can.
Honestly, like, and we all just sat there for a moment, just like, wow. I still don't really know what happened, because as I said, we really weren't going fast, but it was just that, you know, my life didn't flash before my eyes. It probably wasn't very interesting. Just that moment of, I'm dying. This is it. I'm going to die right now.
Did you feel like you might have slightly overreacted when you saw that there was people driving camper vans around the same massive roads and you're in this little car?
Yeah.
No, we were actually, it was like a sort of a pickup type thing. It was a big car.
Oh, right.
Okay.
But I mean, it doesn't matter what size it is when you're plunging thousands of feet off the edge of a cliff, does it?
No, but I felt nervous driving a little car around those roads, and then I saw people driving massive, like, you know,
like
mobile homes with cars attached to the back, and I was like, wow, if they can make it, I should be fine.
Are there barriers on these roads?
There are in some parts, but there wasn't on this.
Well, where you were, there was no fencing,
it was
no
just
barrier.
The edge.
Just edge. But there is on some parts, though.
I believe so, yeah. That, yeah. The safe parts don't really stick in my brain, to be honest. It's the near-death experience, really, that's stuck in
my mind. But you said Yosemite, I thought you were going to say that, you know, you faced a bear or a forest fire. But it was just a bit bad driving.
The roads are well paved, though, aren't they? I mean, they're paved.
It kind of doesn't matter when you're screeching across the tarmac.
I'm basically suggesting that...
aquaplaning across all these lanes.
I'm suggesting that is quite bad, but it's child's play when it comes to the death road in Bolivia, which I've been down.
Oh, you are such a story topper.
It's the thing that many people will have seen. It's a bit of a tourist attraction. You cycle down it. It's the death road, it's called. Corioico or something is the actual
I'm sorry, but I do feel like when a road is called Death Road, I'm going to think, maybe I won't go down that road.
Yeah. I back myself, not, Sarah.
I mean, at least like Sarah was in a metal canister that could have protected her, not on a bike.
No, but on a bike's fine because you're in complete control. And you're on this little thing where you can go right to the... into the sort of the mountainside. So actually the bike was fine. It was going back up the road in the van that was scary.
Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it a long road?
I can't honestly remember. I mean, I'm sure if you trip advisor it, you can find out people. But you can... I think the danger, the death bit of the road is... it's maybe an hour and a half cycle. The whole thing might be about 4 hours, something like that. But the actual sheer cliff face, not paved road, mud, dirt track, it's awful business. In fact, actually, I'm sort of joking around here. You know, like it is called that for a reason because every now and then stuff like people die and they go over the side. And at various places where the road is particularly hazardous. I mean, the whole bloody thing is, but where it is even more so, you have people who volunteer. Some of them are family members of those who have died, but others are just very, very concerned citizens, I assume, and they will have a sort of a traffic light system because some of the bends on there, like you see cars, you see massive, massive buses. Like 40 people on a bus going down. You see lorries going down this road. I cannot stress how ridiculous the whole thing is. And there was, and it absolutely hooned it down with rain when we were there. And there was an occasion when we were on our, we were on our bikes. And mud's going in your eyes. That's unhelpful. But we were on our bikes and we stopped on one
of these. This will be fun, lads.
Yeah. We stopped on this corner. And this lorry kind of went round, and it was a slightly, it was a bit of an angle going uphill for this lorry. And he was going up, and he put the brakes on, and the lorry started to slide backwards down the hill.
No.
And I wasn't scared for my own safety. I was very much genuinely terrified that I was about to witness something incredibly awful. And it's that moment where you go... I'm a tourist, you know. And don't get me wrong, it was a great experience and blah, 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 blah. But when you see that, it's like the real life of it smacks you in the face. Fortunately, the quick-thinking person quickly grabbed some sort of breeze block things and shoved it behind the wheels and it was okay. But you sort of go, yeah, we are really sanitised in the Western world, aren't we, to all this kind of thing.
What does that tell us about tourists?
It is called Death Road.
That's attracted people to it. It's not put them off. That's what I'm like. Surely if it's Death Road, avoid. Not, let's go on holiday.
Well, I wanted to bring life to it, Chris. But maybe in Spanish it's called like the shortcut road because apparently it's a massive shortcut through. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, and I sort of think to myself, still. I can't honestly stress. Like there'll be, I'm sure people have done, you know, documentary pieces on it, but it is absolutely incredible. Anyway, Chris. Give us an example where you were scared stiff.
Telling my friends I once voted Conservative. It was quite scary.
What?
Exactly. Your response. That was a jest. that's why I said it. Because I think if one did, you couldn't admit it because you'd be scared of the reaction. Like, yeah, Sarah, you what? I would say, differing wise... I used to do a lot of work in the prison estate when I worked for the UN. And I was very used to going to lots of prisons. But going to HMP Manchester, I used to be called Strangeways, was a weirdly, genuinely terrifying experience. And I'd probably visited nearly 40 prisons in my whole time, so I was very used to going in and out of prisons, talking to prisoners. Yeah. But there was something about that place. I think the some of the sounds coming out of the cells, some of the guys there were just utterly terrifying. And I was used to this environment, but there was something about that place. I was like, I would not want to be locked up here for one night. Like other prisons, I thought I could probably be okay. But that one was like, oh my gosh, the people in here need medication all the time.
Oh my goodness.
I had so much respect for the prison guards in there, but going into that environment was pretty harrowing. I can't really put my finger on why. I still don't, to this day, don't really know why, but it was almost like it was a, I don't want to make it, well, it was like a spiritual thing. Like it was it felt dark. It felt very, very dark in the wing where you were going to as well.
I mean, that would make sense considering,
yeah,
you know, what's going on and why people are there and so on and so forth. Yeah, I mean, harrowing as well as scary is quite an unpleasant feeling, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's like when your heart is going super fast and that, you know, the hackles up on your neck and you're just like, and I had prison guards with me all the time. But it was that, it's the heart rate going, and then that means all the blood's going to all your limbs and everything, isn't it? The whole fight, flight or freeze thing, and your hands are getting sweaty and it's horrible. Not nice at all.
It's really interesting. Like you mentioned, like is there like a sort of a spiritual aspect to it, that kind of thing. And there's also something which I've heard a number of people talk about, is how actually your brain is picking up cues from a situation, but they're subconscious. So your brain is actually noticing possible points of danger and it's prepping itself sort of in the back of your brain, but you're not consciously aware of it yet. And I think, you know, sometimes you just get a funny feeling in a situation and you just think, nope, I'm getting out of this. This doesn't feel right. And like you say, I mean, Chris, obviously, I'm sure you can say, you know, there are lots of people who've done very bad things around that's not going to feel good. But it's that thing of it's like another sense telling you, this is dangerous. Don't stick around here. Like, I've heard quite a few stories of women kind of feeling that sense out of it in nightclubs and stuff, being like, no, I need to get out of here. And then it turns out something dodgy has happened.
Yeah. And it's interesting if it is actually, as you said, like we're picking up on something unseen, or whether it is just lots of kind of micro signs that combined to really make us feel uneasy. I remember one of the things I wrote down about a scary situation was being on a night bus once and accidentally getting involved in a fight, trying to defend someone. And like, it's that thing of like, things aren't right here, and you can feel it escalating. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh no, this, like you said, Marcus, with the truck falling, like, oh my gosh, this is actually happening now. This is, this is real. And someone, you know, on this bus is out to do some violence. And if you're not used to it, you just don't know what to do.
Well, I think that's an interesting one because, like, if you've ever got started on by someone who's definitely harder than you, and you think, this person knows how to fight, they're harder than me, I have zero interest in fighting. Absolutely zero. Never have, never will do. It's just such a terrible idea all round. And if you've ever had that someone start on you and you've never properly been attacked, so it's a bit unknown as well, that can be terrifying, and you feel the adrenaline rush through your body. It's only happened, I think, once to me, maybe, and of course I managed to sort of gently talk my way out of it, and that was that, because it really was over nothing. Like, it was very, very, you know, this person obviously was very upset and was having a bad time in life.
When God was handing out weapons, he gave you the gift of the gab, didn't he, Marcus? That was your number one gift.
Yeah, I wouldn't have
fist of fury.
At that moment in time, I wouldn't have minded it to have been Thor's hammer, though. and the older I get, the less speed I have, I suppose. Which was used to be my sort of superpower. So, but that is quite terrifying when you're that sort of, you know, imaginary force field that you think is around you, you know, your personal space. When anybody enters your personal space, other than a loving partner, perhaps, or a close friend for a bear hug, it's not nice. I mean, it can be off-putting and all the rest of it. But when someone violently sort of crashes into that personal space, and it's out of context. Someone did that to me on the football field. I was just like, oh, yeah, here we go. Whereas if it's somewhere, as I say, very much out of context, and I think there's very few places where it's in context. It's not meant to be in context on the football field. But I think
No, but as you said, you're expecting some sort of bodily contact on the pitch, right? In sports and stuff like that. But what, as you said, like on a bus or walking down the street or whatever, it's like...
It's not what you signed up for, is it?
Yeah, exactly. I was just trying to get home.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I like, obviously, as men, you're much more likely to face that kind of violence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, while women, you know, there's other stuff that they're much more likely to be victims of. But I, to even say it was an attack is massively overdoing it. But I once was walking home along the street and a woman who I sort of had my earphones in, I had my music on, so I wasn't really... Unfortunately, they say, you know, you should be aware of your surroundings. But this woman just ran up to me, screaming absolute, I don't know what, but just screaming and screaming and screaming, grabs my bag and is trying to, like, tug it away. And this other woman comes running after her and is trying to pull her off me.
Yeah.
I think she may have been drunk. And, like, she wasn't trying to rob me, I don't think. Yeah. She was, like, she was angry with me.
She wanted to find out where you got your bag from.
Well, it was, you know what, it was actually quite a new bag. And it was, like, one of those, you know, cotton tote bags.
Is this a real Louis Vuitton?
Right down the middle. All my stuff fell out. And but I was just, like, I've never been sort of started on like that before in my life. And I had no, and I've never felt an adrenaline kind of like that, of like, I'm being attacked.
Yeah.
Someone is attacking me. And I just scooped my stuff up off the floor and just ran.
Did you?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I, you know, I think we've all got, like, ideas of, oh, what would I do if I was in that situation?
Yeah.
I just want to get as far away as fast as I can.
Of course it
is. It was flight. It was absolute flight.
It's interesting that you ran. There was, and you could run, because obviously you were scared, but you could rationalise the situation somewhat. Whereas I remember watching this clip that's done the rounds. I'm sure people have seen it, or if not, you could easily find it. I think it was a Japanese game show. You know, you get some nutty game shows over there where they stitch people up, and it's a bit sort of Beatles about for the older ones amongst us. And there's a man leaving, I think it's his office, his place of work. And in his place of work, there's quite long corridors. And he sees a load of people running. Now, I don't think they run past him, because that would be too alarming. But it's like there's a sort of a T junction, if you like, in the corridor. And they run across, like, one way in front of him, like loads of them screaming for their lives. And he looks up and he's like, what's that about then? That's a bit weird. But he's kind of like a bit further ahead of him. And he doesn't know what's happening. So he's heading in that direction. And then suddenly a velociraptor comes around the corner, this big dinosaur. And the funny thing is, when you first see the video, it looks quite convincing on first sight. And he obviously craps himself and tries to run in the opposite direction while this big bloody thing is running at him. And he's trying to run, but his legs, like, go to jelly and don't move. Now, this... To be honest, it could be an actor or something. I don't know.
I don't think so.
That's certainly not the way it's portrayed. But it's hilarious. And of course, as you see the video go on, you see the legs of a bloke who's in this velociraptor thing. But at first sight, you don't actually see it. And the angle he's got, the legs, the human legs are kind of covered. But imagine if you were, again, there's no one else about. Yeah. And then you see a load of people. You are completely sucked in to this sort of false happening, if you see what I mean. Go on.
I was gonna say, it goes back to what Sarah was saying about, like, there's all these little things that tell you, like, things aren't right and I should leave, and you're like, okay, there's a load of people running, they're screaming, what's going on?
But you cloud the brain. But that's what you do, you cloud the brain. There was a thing in it was in London and Glasgow years ago. It probably would have been other parts of the country. And I think it was called Alien War, and it was based on the Alien film franchise. And you know, like Quasar Laser or Laser Quest?
Yeah.
It's kind of like... Are you familiar, Sarah, or are you too young for...
I'm a Laser Quest gal.
Okay, so you know Laser Quest. So
I'm with you, yeah.
Laser tag to our American friends, that kind of thing. And so you go into a room which is usually some sort of massive basement thing that's decked out. We've got dry ice, you know, mood music, very dimly lit. It's kind of a bit sci-fi, that kind of thing. And they decked this out, and it was all like the Alien film franchise. And a couple of friends of mine went on it. They're a couple of years older than me. And they said that you go in, and of course you're giggling and laughing away, and oh, it's a bit of fun. And they were teenagers at the time. And then it's kind of someone's given all the rules and regulations, what you got. Everyone's like, yeah, fine, whatever. And then suddenly they're just sort of strolling around, and he starts telling the stories of the aliens and this, that, and the other. And again, everyone's going, oh, yeah, whatever. And then suddenly there's this noise, and he's like, right, okay, we've got to run. And everyone starts running. And then you're sort of like, oh, hang on. And then, like, from behind, you turn around and you see this little faint alien-type creature in the dark, in the background, coming at you. And it's like, and from that moment, you suddenly forget that you're in London or Glasgow, wherever you are, and you are completely submerged in this alien story. And they said for the next 20 minutes or however it was, they were absolutely bricking it because they genuinely thought that they were trying to get away from these aliens who wanted to kill them. And that was the thing. And for, as I say, it was an absolute roller coaster ride, they were saying. And then, of course, at the end of the game, it's kind of like, oh, there we go. We survived, everybody. Well done. Right, out you go. And then you go out to the sort of the London sunshine at like 2 in the afternoon, and everyone's like walking around the street, and you're going, I'm an absolute idiot. I've been totally sucked in. But for those 20 minutes, they were saying it was absolutely terrifying.
It is something because you immerse yourself in it, and you suddenly your brain is like, we are in this situation. Oh, my God. Like, I had that a little bit when I went paintballing. Where suddenly I was like,
so I laugh, but I had the same thought.
Yeah.
I've never been paintballing.
Like, I have to hide. I cannot let them see me. Mm. I am being hunted.
This is going to hurt.
Yeah. And it does hurt.
Yeah. Well, Oh, go on, Chris.
No, I was going to say that I've always wanted to do one of those scary day experiences after watching The Walking Dead. You can have what you said, Marcus, but like with zombie experiences. And apparently there's, I think it's near Milton Keynes, there's an old shopping centre, like a mall that's all closed down now. But as you said, they do it, so it's so immersive. And I think you have to, I might have made this up, I think you have to like be, you know, physically able to do these things, even your heart and stuff as well, because it could be proper scary.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, like, I was googling scary day experiences, and things like swimming with sharks pops up. I was like, oh, that'd be fun, but I do it? Probably not. Ghost hunting, and then the classic escape room, which is a bit scary when the clock's going down. It's not scary, but your heart is going sort
your
of
adrenaline starts going.
Well, because you get it's like ghost hunting, just sort of pick you up.
Apparently,
on
you know, people, you know, going to haunted houses and stuff like that.
All right,
it's like a whole scary day experience.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that and be thoroughly. I mean, what?
There's a guy in the sheet in the bedroom.
Yeah, but exactly. Yeah, but like, let's just go with me here, ladies and gentlemen. What's the end? What's the ultimate experience there? Oh, Casper. Well, we actually saw some ghosts and it scared us. You know, like, what? Do you know what I mean? Or they go, oh, yeah, I did it. And then, like, there was nothing, but, like, it was kind of, you know, we were in the dark and that, and it was all right.
Surely you'd be disappointed if you didn't see anything?
It's the adrenaline junkie, isn't it? It's like the best films are often the ones where that you don't see anything, but it's the whole, and it's the build up, it's the anticipation, it's the
Hitchcock,
your nerves. Yeah, it's all that sort of stuff. And then, like, you might not see much, but it's the experience. Like, we are adrenaline junkies. I think we love the whole heart rate quickening. And apparently when you get scared, our senses are sharpened. So you can hear better. You can see better. The reason our heart goes is to push blood to our limbs so we can run and escape or fight, which is when you said, Sarah, when you ran. I was like, that's a very natural biological reaction, is to either to fight or to run. Or
that's
the other
my animal brain kicking in.
Well, my wife definitely would say she's a freeze person. And I was Googling it before, and that apparently is flight or fight on hold. So you freeze at the start whilst your brain's really trying to figure out what to do. So as well, I think in the past I've tended to be a fight. Not as in like physically, like I said on the night bus, that one I tried to avoid. But if there's a noise in another room in the house at night, and my wife said there's a noise, I just fly out the doors, just trying to like, well, what is it? Like, I think I'm probably sure it's not going to be a problem. But my thing is like, well, if it is a problem, I need to run at this thing.
Yeah. Would you have done that then? If you'd have gone on that alien war thing, would you have turned around and just got tore into these poor actors who were dressed up as aliens?
You'd have just beaten the crap out of that alien.
I know. I don't want to be that guy.
The guy's like, it's a joke. It's not actually real.
No, but that's the thing. You know, you get those like kind of like you were saying, Chris, with the zombie thing, there are these, like, you know, haunted houses where you specifically go for the people to jump out at you.
Like the
stuff.
London Dungeons and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I've read about people who run those and people saying, like, guaranteed most workers at some point will get punched in the face because they'll jump out at someone who will just...
That's the reaction.
They can't help it. They just immediately smack them.
I remember the first time I went to one of those, I think it was Madame Tussauds, and they have a bit at the bottom of the dungeons, and there's signs saying, do not touch the actors. And I'm going in there going, what are they talking about? But as you said, you get so scared, you're like, you do want to slap them when they get too close, like, get away!
I tell you what, to change sort of experiences, if you like, I can, very vaguely, but I can remember the first time I went into a classroom. I'd have been 4 or 5 years old, and I was terrified.
Aww.
And my mum had to physically pull me in. And that's what I remember of that experience. I remember going, I'm not going in there. And my mum grabbing me by the hand and pulling me in. And I was like, right, feet down. And I remember my feet just sliding across the floor as I was pulled into this classroom. Absolutely petrified. And but then I remember kind of warming up to it and sort of talking and sort of being, and I was going, oh, this is all right, actually. It's those little experiences that you, the first times, especially if you're a child or, you know, as you're growing up, that kind of thing. It seems absolutely, like, I can't do this, No, don't get me. And then you're like, oh, okay, they're just other little people.
I do actually have a childhood one that I thought of, which my mum maintains nothing ever happened. It wasn't a big deal. But I remember being like, oh, my God. My mom left me, I think it must have been me and my sister in the car, and we were really young. So I wouldn't have been older than about 5, I don't think. Mm-hmm. Just while she nipped into the shop, you know, car was parked right outside the shop, nothing, you know, totally fair enough. And while she was in there, a man came up to the car door and was trying to open it.
No,
and
blimey.
I was like, ah, I'm getting kidnapped, oh my God, I'm going to get murdered. Definitely not a drama queen. And I think my mum ran out of the shop and, like, I think she just said to him, excuse me.
Shoot.
And I think he said, oh, sorry, wrong car, and went off. And I was obviously like, that was it. He was going to kidnap me. But
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Blimey, Sarah. Blimey. Sarah, our good listeners have been getting in touch with things that have scared them before.
They have been. We've got quite a mixed bag here. We've got a few. Robbie had a similar one to me. It was a driving-related one where he... He says apparently he grips the steering wheel too tightly and so his arms get very tired. And he was driving in Australia and he'd been driving for 2 hours and his arms got really tired. And because of that, he nearly hit a motorbike and a car. And he said he'd never been so scared.
Oh, I'm sorry you went through that, Robbie. But by the way, a judge and jury won't have any sympathy if you say that.
I enjoyed the extra detail, to be honest. I like that he explained what happened. Don't grip your steering wheel too tight, people.
Exactly.
We had another transport-related one from the lovely Jaff, who said he was coming to land in, I believe it was Cambodia, through really bad turbulence.
Mm.
The plane just had to go full pelt. It genuinely felt like the plane was going down, screaming people, mostly men, including myself, coming so far out of our seats, nearly banging our heads. It was madness.
Awful.
Once we got through the clouds, finally saw some lights, it was nighttime, we were finally able to glide in, which just felt a bit surreal because I would say about 90% of us thought we were about to die.
Bloody Nora, that would be terrifying. Because I think, that would be terrifying. Because if you've been on, you know, let's be honest, we've all been on planes a lot and... You know the routine. You know, you're coming into land. Oh, okay, we're just easing gently now. He's easing off the throttle a bit as we're coming. You know that routine. Whereas if something is a little bit different, as he says, they sped up. They had to kind of almost like dive bomb through the clouds. You think, hang on, this routine's been upset, and the pilot hasn't explained this to us necessarily.
Yeah,
and that can be quite terrifying, and especially when the turbulence. I've never had turbulence like that before, where you know people can fly out of their seats. That's crazy.
Yeah, that can. And also, every horror film or every sort of thriller you've ever seen where there's a plane crash flashes through your brain and you're like, I'm going to end up on Lost. I'm going to...
It's going to be a polar bear. I don't know why.
Why? What a strange series. I think that one does make me feel a little bit nervous myself. Then away from the transport... Joel, this is really horrible. Joel said he had homophobic abuse thrown at him and he was pushed through a bus shelter. I can absolutely see why that would be terrifying.
But I mean, like you say, that with the physical violence, that is just awful. Ooh. But especially if they're targeting somebody for something like that, that's sickening. Sorry,
really, really nasty. Yeah. At the other end of the scale, Macca.
Go on, Macca.
I'm not going to make fun of you, Macca, but he says, sounds lame, but I got chased by two foxes last year while I was running. I'm now terrified.
Oh,
I'm sure
Macca.
It was scary. I'm sure it was. But
they're tiny. Macca. They're the size of cats. What are you on about?
I tell you, mates of mine once got chased by a bull.
Big though.
That is big. Well, they were out in a in the countryside somewhere, walking through a field, and there was loads of cows all sort of huddled together in the corner. Anyway, they were just sort of walking along. They were like obviously quite far from the cows. And then one of them said, "It's a lot of cows. Do you reckon there's a bull around here?" And as they said that, this bull suddenly just like something out of a film just appeared, glaring at them. And they
snorting,
were just like,
Steve.
"Run!" Yeah, starts flicking the feet around, and it's like, "Right, run!" And they ran, and this thing started to charge at them. And they managed to get over this fence. It wasn't that far away, but bearing in mind, a bull can kill you. Like, yeah. if it tramples it, like, there was not that long ago, sadly, a farmer died. I think the bull kind of turned. It can be ridiculous. And when it happens, they actually have to call the police. I think it's the armed unit or whatever they're called. Forgive my technology. The armed lot.
The flying
the gun
squad.
Guys. They have to call the gun guys. And they turn up and just like, bang, that's the end of that. But yeah, terrifying.
I can
Much,
actually...
I mean, it's similar to the foxes, I would say, Macca.
Macca, it's a tough sounding name, but not a tough sounding story.
I can actually slightly top the bull one, Marcus.
Go on.
My father grew up on a farm when he was a child, and he got chased by a bull. And literally, he was the last one to scramble over the fence as it charged at them. It literally got its horns up through his belt as he's clambering over the over the gate, and it snaps the belt off him, and he gets over the fence. But literally, the horns go up his back, grazes
his
back.
That is terrifying.
That's lucky.
Truly horrifying. Stay out the fields, guys.
Stay away from bulls and foxes.
Yes, yes. Then we had a couple of sort of medical related ones. Oh. Lauren Robertson said, "Well, she dislocated her knee.
Oh,
she didn't know if she was going to need surgery or not. But a dislocated knee that sends it right through me.
Sounds horrific.
Oh dear. That's more. Is that scary though, or is that?
Well,
I mean, that's
painful. Not knowing what they're going to have to do to it."
I suppose, yeah.
That moment
of
being
downplay
like, what are they going to have to... Because like, with arms, when they sort of pop them back in...
Oh, yeah.
Horrible. And actually, I heard from my mum, she said radiotherapy is the scariest thing she ever went through.
Oh, blimey.
Because you're surrounded by all these machines and all this stuff. That's really, really quite frightening, she said.
Yeah.
And then finally, last two, Louise said, "My first holiday abroad at 7... I got lost at Menorca Airport. I was busy staring at the giant M&Ms."
Giant M&Ms.
Well, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Being lost when you're a child is truly terrifying. Being lost as an adult is as well.
Unless you're befriended by giant M&Ms and then it's like some weird psychedelic dream.
Yeah. And then finally, Sarah Jane said, "Swimming too far out in the sea and really struggling to get back to shore."
That's meant to be very, very scary.
Yeah. It's that moment of being like, oh no.
Yeah.
It's happened. I'm in danger.
Yeah.
Blimey.
So it's quite a mixed bag there.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much for getting involved. Do follow us on Twitter and Insta at AQQAPod. But excellent stuff. I'd like to finish by saying that according to an article written in GQ magazine a few years ago, the thing that scares Americans the most is corruption. This was before they voted in Mr. Trump. 35% of Americans are also scared of Obamacare, though. So make what you will.
I'll rerun
that
poll now. See how that goes.
And Corona.
To hear those updated results.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, God bless them.
Love them.
We are. Thank you. Thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. It's been an absolute pleasure. Something that would really help us out is if you went on your podcast app, whether it's Apple or wherever you get your pods, and give us a big, juicy 5-star review. We'd flipping love that. Very much so indeed. We're back next week, though. But until then, say goodbye, Sarah.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Chris.
See ya.
It's goodbye from me. We'll be right back.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.